Hello, everyone, and welcome to Minute 105 of Season 10 of Movie Rob Minute, the daily podcast where we hijack our way through the 1974 action thriller, The Taking of Pelham 123, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and we are here in the final episode of this season. We are at episode, we've done 105 episodes, or 104 episodes before today, and we're about to close off yet another season. My guest for today's finale, as always, the same perfect guest that I've had for the last 9 seasons also, is my good friend Jake Cluitt of Team Lucy Pod. Welcome back once again to finish things off, Jay.
Yes, it is me, Jake Cluitt, the perfect guest, apparently. Mr. Deep Blue
to finish himself. Off.
Yes. No, you said perfect guest. I'll take it.
Okay. No problem.
You can't take that back.
I wouldn't try to take it back. I believe every syllable of that. So welcome back, Jay. Thank you very much for joining me for one for another finale. Wow.
Thrilled to be here. Thank you. Yes.
Yeah. We've reached another highlight.
We did it again. Yeah.
That's right.
I did very little of it, but I'm still here.
Okay, that's fair. So, minute 105 begins with the end of the crew credits and finishes off with the MPAA rating. So, Jay, I don't have very much to talk about for this 22nd minute that we will be discussing here.
I have even less.
Okay. We talked yesterday about some of the crew members that appear on screen now because they were on screen yesterday also. And the only things we didn't talk about that is new to us today are the copyright and the MPA ratings that Movie Rated R. That's it. So I have nothing else to say about this final minute of the Taking of Pelham 123.
Works for me.
Okay. Okay, that's fair. Before we get onto my answers to all of the various segments that we've been doing over the last 6 months, I actually found a few bits of trivia on IMDb that we had never fully discussed. So I just wanted to bring them up there. I found 4 of them.
Okay.
One of them is about the whole idea of how they split up the ransom money. Now, I still think that the way we discussed it in the podcast works better, but someone actually did the math. I just did a guesstimation. So it says here that they asked for 500,000 in hundreds, 500,000 in fifties, which would make 10,000 $50 bills and 5,000 $100 bills, each of them in packets of 200. So that would be the following: 50 packets of 200 $50 bills, 25 packets of 200 $100 bills, which would make a total of 75 packets of bills. Unfortunately, you can't divide 75 by 4. So
that's true.
It comes out to 18.75. And Mr. Gray does mention the fact that that each of them wants 18 packets. So apparently, a few people got extra packets there. Maybe Blue just said, okay, you take 18, you take 18, and no one else did the math, and then he was walking away with 21 packets or something like that.
That feels fair. He's the one who set the whole thing up, potentially.
Maybe. We've debated that, and you've heard all those debates. So
sure. Well, whether he set it up or not, he is the leader of the team, and yeah. It always seems like the manager takes home more than the rest of us.
Usually,
whether that's deserved or not,
that's correct. Another bit of trivia that I wanted to bring up: that Hector Elizondo says that one time he went to the bank and he had trouble conducting a transaction because the bank teller saw him in the movie the night before and thought he was about to rob them. Whether it's true or not, I don't know.
I really hope that kind of thing isn't true, because I just other people out there who don't appreciate this as a film,
Okay.
and it's just yeah, it's you hear stories of people throwing things at people that just play villains all the time on the street, like because they hate because they associate them so much with this villainous character they play, so they must throw fruit at them as they go past.
Yeah.
Like, what? Why? Why are you doing this?
Because people are stupid. That's what it comes down to.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, we've talked many times about the fact that this film has two James Bond villains in it, both Robert Shaw and Julius Harris. But the one thing that we never came across and never thought about, myself included, was the fact that both of these characters were killed by Bond while they were on a train.
That's true. Yeah, it's a shame that Dave Bautista also not in the film. Because that would have worked as well.
Apparently, Dave Bautista was probably either a toddler or an infant or not even born
He could have been one of
at
the kids
the
on the train. We don't know. That could have been. That would have been
That would be fun. That definitely would be fun. I'm actually just surprised that they didn't let Ben Stiller be one of those kids.
Yeah, that would have worked too. And well, he's got a sister as well, I think.
Yes, he does have a sister also.
Yeah,
No,
there you go.
because as I mentioned, Ben Stiller was actually on set, and
Yes, sure, yeah.
sort of hides. He hides in one of the shots, which you can't see
Okay.
him. He talks about that he's there.
Successful hiding, yeah.
Yes, very good. So Dave Bautista was born in 69, so he was 5 years old at the time that they made this movie. So it is possible.
He could have been on there. That would have been fantastic. I'm disappointed now that didn't happen.
You're gonna have to go back in time and talk to Dave Bautista's parents about how come they didn't make sure that he would have, gotten this little role. Who knows?
It feels like that would be a frivolous use of time travel. And
Yes, I would agree with that. But you never know. I mean, sometimes people, that's what they want to do. Not
yeah.
not everyone, does things the way that you would want them to.
No, very, very few people, in fact.
Especially in movies dealing with time travel. How many people come and really deal with it in a way that you say, oh, that makes a lot of sense. Usually it's for personal gain, or they don't have a choice. They're
Yeah.
just trying to
Well, it's,
figure out a way of
fair
getting back
enough.
home. That type of thing. Like Marty McFly just wants to get back home.
Just wants to get back home and not disappear into the ether.
That's right. Exactly. And the final thing that I wanted to mention is something that I really am shocked that I never came across. The fact that so obviously all of the hijackers wear fake mustaches, large glasses, and reversible coats, right? In order
It's
for them
true.
to all look identical. Did you know that one of the coats is different than the others?
I did not. Which one?
Mr. Green. Mr. Green wears his coat inside out, and when they change the when they all switch the coats, that he switches also. But he's the one who's the odd man out from all the others. So he's even going through this minute by minute. I didn't pay attention to that. So I will fall on my sword for that.
I mean, how different is the coat from one side to the other? I don't remember.
One is like tan and the other is plaid.
Okay, sure.
Okay, now the fact that he has a
Yeah,
plaid,
okay.
it actually works that Mr. Green, when he's walking on the street, he's got this plaid winter coat on, makes a little more sense than the tan coat, but whatever. I always wonder if things like that are done on purpose to point something out, just as maybe to show that
He's
Green
less experienced
is less
in the
experienced.
crime world. Yeah.
You think that Mr. Blue would say to him, man, why don't you turn that jacket around?
Maybe he didn't notice either.
Apparently not. He didn't have IMDb.
He couldn't tell through those glasses.
That's true also. That's a good point. All right, so now we will get into the daily segments. As always, I'm gonna have you try and guess what mine are going to be, and we'll see how you do that. So let's start with MathFound Monday. What movie did
Okay,
you call?
I have prepared this, and before we get into it, I want to say, listeners, I'm sorry. Halfway through this series, I came to Rob and was like, we did this wrong. It should be Weekend Walter on Friday, and for Monday, it should be New Week, New York. New Week, New York is what we should have done. It didn't come to me until like week 12 of this run, and I'm annoyed. That's what it should have been.
Well,
So.
you have to come up with these ideas in advance, Jerry. I you know that
Sure, I tried.
I'm willing to go the distance on suggestions that you make, even if you sometimes make them as jokes. But
More on that
exactly.
later. Come back next week or
Yes.
tomorrow. I'm not sure.
No, not tomorrow.
Yeah,
Not tomorrow. It's
I don't know, Rob. I don't know what day it is. I'm sorry.
Saturday.
Oh,
Saturday. We're
okay,
putting
great.
this up on a Saturday, and you will be back on Tuesday. So yes.
Jeez, okay, sure.
Yes.
Well, I'm all over the
Tomorrow,
shop.
everyone gets
So,
a day of relief from me, and then
two days
Monday.
early for me.
That's right. That's right.
Great. So, your top five Walter
Okay.
Matthau
So for
films,
Weekend
I
Walter,
have.
there you go.
Oh, okay, sure. This is, I guess, I had to look up like, because for me, Walter Matthau is The Pelham 123 and nothing else. Like when I think, oh, what's the best Walter Matthau film? It's like, oh, it's that leer around the corner, the loom, after the sneeze, the Gesundheit. That face is what Walter Matthau looks like, and that's all I can think of. So I had to Google. I had to go in and look it up.
In the last 6 months, you haven't seen any other Walter
No,
Matthau movies? Okay.
the last 6 months are no different from the previous 38 years.
No, I'm saying maybe while you were listening to this, someone mentioned something and you said, "Oh wow, that sounds interesting. I'm going to actually go try and seek that out and watch it." But
If
apparently,
I
you
went through life watching everything that was recommended to me, I'd get nothing done. So,
no
there's so much out there.
content.
There's
No
so much out there I
content.
want to watch. I just don't have the time. And if it has a shark in it, then sure, I'll watch it. But there's no
Yeah,
sharks
sorry.
in Grumpy Old Men, I assume.
No.
So yeah, I've got that. Your number five, four, Charlie Varrick, three, Pelham
Whoa, whoa, whoa. What was
123,
your number five?
two,
Sorry. Say the
Grumpy
list
Old
again.
Men, number five.
Grumpy Old Men.
Grumpy Old Men, number five. Number four, Charlie Varrick. Number three, Pelham 123. Number two, The Odd Couple. And number one, Bad News Bears, is
Okay,
what I have guessed.
you only get three of the five.
Hey, better than normal.
All right. So my number five is his relatively short cameo in JFK. I think it's amazing what he does there because it's so different than anything else that he's done in the past. Even though it's just a little conversation on a plane, that's it. My number four is the Sunshine Boys with him and George Burns. The two of them work so well together as partners for decades that hate each other. Number three is Charlie Varrick. You were right that was on the list.
Hooray.
I got a much better appreciation for it when I watched it the second time during the course of this season. My number two is Pelham 123.
Yeah.
And my number one is Bad News Bears.
Hey, I got it in the right spot.
That's right.
Yeah,
There you go. All right, so we have 23 different guests, including myself, that have given their top five, and there are a total of 25 movies that are on this list.
okay.
Yeah. So
Sure.
what do you think the top five are there?
Okay, so this is based on having listened. I think number five is Dennis the Menace, that cropped up a few times on people that saw these things when they were children. Number four, The Odd Couple. Number three, Grumpy Old Men. Number two, Bad News Bears. And number one, Pelham 123.
Okay, you were close. The funny thing is your guesses for my top five are the ones that all fit into this top five. Okay,
Oh, great. Okay.
Grumpy Old Men was number five with 22 points. Charlie Varrick was number four with 23 points. The Odd Couple was number three with 40 points. Bad News Bears was 2 with 46 points, and Pelham 123, number 1 with 72 points.
Yeah, so I got all 5 the first time around.
Yeah.
And in you and 3 of them up. In the right place.
You mixed up which...
which of them in the right place, yeah. Okay, fair enough. I'll take it.
Right. Okay, so now let's move on to Tuesday's segment, Bluesday Tuesday.
Sure. Okay. So, your top 5 Robert Shaw films. I know you like a war film, and again, I'm not across every Robert Shaw film, but I know you like a war film, so I put Battle of the Bulge at number 5, just as a wild swing. Number 4, Pelham 123. Number 3, The Sting. Number 2, From Russia with Love. And number 1, this little film called Jaws.
Sorry. Number 5.
Oh, well.
Number 5 is From Russia with Love. Number 4 is The Sting. Number 3 is Black Sunday.
Okay.
Number 2 is Pelham 123. And number 1 is, as you said, this little film called Jaws.
So I got your number ones right for both lists so far. Arguably the easiest thing to guess. There we are. And for the group, it's much the same films, except for I put The Deep at number 5, because I know that's come up a couple of times. I don't expect that to stay there, but that's I had to pick something. Number 4, From Russia with Love. Number 3, Pelham 123. Number 2, The Sting. And number 1, this little film called Jaws.
Okay, once again, you're close, but not completely there. Number 5 actually was A Man for All Seasons.
With 14... Sure, yeah, there were a few candidates what it could be, but I had the reef on my list, so initially, that's what I put in.
With 14 points, that's it. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And number 4.
How many points did The Deep get?
6.
Sure. Okay. Fair enough.
And Battle of the Bulge also got 6. Both of those. So From Russia with Love had 51 points. Look at the jump between 14 and 51.
Yeah.
He's got
4 big films.
Yes.
And then the rest.
Well, no, he's got 1 huge film, 3 big films.
Sure.
And then,
yeah.
You know, even A Man for All Seasons, number 6 on this is Black Sunday, which has 8 points. So the jump is also 14. You know, between that. And then 14 to 51, so that's From Russia with Love. The Sting got 54 points. Pelham 123 got 65 points. And Jaws got... How many points do you think Jaws got?
How many guests did you say you had?
23, including me.
Okay, so that's 115. But then a few rogues and mavericks dropped it down from number 1, so I'm going to say it's 110.
106. There are 106. 7 people.
Okay.
There are 7 guests that did not put it as their top film, but it's on everyone's list.
Yeah. There's not contrarians, a lot of them.
Right. There's not a single guest who did not mention Jaws on their list. And the lowest it went was number 3 for 2 people. And one of them was Jim. You know, Jim. Both Jim and Andy. I'm surprised that both of them only put it at a 3, but, okay. Everyone has the right to their opinion.
I know that Andy listens. So, Andy, you're wrong.
Well, Andy...
You're doing
Andy
it out of spite for some reason.
Andy did put number 1, the guest, the caretaker. So, you know, he helped it get 8 points by giving it 5 of those 8 points. And then then David Brooke gave the other 3. So it's a blueprint.
I write for them too, but I haven't seen that film. So.
Well, I think you're going to be fired after they listen to this. They're going to say, "Well, if you've never seen that film, then you can't review anymore for us."
They have never paid me, so they cannot fire me. Actually, that's not true. I've been fired from unpaid positions in the past. It happens.
Okay. So now we will move on to the next segment of Hijack Hump Day. There are 42 films that are listed on this list.
Yes, this has become more difficult and will only continue to do so.
Yes.
I have the same five on both lists just because I struggled with this one, and I mixed the order around. So I've got your list. I've got number five, Con Air, which I don't expect to stay on there. Number four, Speed. Number three, Air Force One. Number two, Pelham 123. And number one, this is what I'm confident about again, is United 93. So I know that you freaking love those terrorists. You just want to watch them all the time.
That's right. I was wondering if you would actually remember, how much I like United 93 to have that as my number. Yes, it is my number one. I will give you that right away. But you got some of those wrong. And one
Yeah,
you even
sure. I
there's
expect.
even a movie that's on this list that nobody else had ever mentioned. And it's the only I'm the only person who mentioned it.
Well, this is the
So
problem with like
you wouldn't be able to get this type of thing. So,
So when I'm looking at like films that Robert Shaw was in, that's a definitive list. That's a the you know there's a start to that list and end to the list. Films with hijacks in feels like an almost endless. There's not like here is all of the films with hijacks in. There's a list. He sent us a Wikipedia link, but there's like 20 films in that. So yeah, this is always a more difficult task because what do you consider to be a hijacking?
That's correct.
How
So,
much the films that need to take place over? I don't know what people's your rules are.
So my honorable mention is Speed. It didn't break my top five. And so my number five is Pelham 123. My number four is Con Air. See, higher than you thought
Oh
it would.
wow.
Yes.
Higher than Pelham wanted then okay, sure. That's surprising.
Then my number three is a movie that you might not have even heard of. It's called Operation Thunderbolt. Have
I
you heard
have
of
heard of it, but I have not seen it, and I
it?
don't know what it
Okay.
is. But yeah, the
It
name has crossed my brain before.
it's a movie about the rescue of the hostages in 1976 from Entebbe in Uganda. There was
Okay.
a plane that was hijacked then. Then that year that it came out that I mean it happened in 76 and they had a mo sorry the movies came out in 77. It happened in 76. They had three movies come out in 77 about it. Victory in Entebbe, Raid on Entebbe, and Operation Thunderbolt. Operation Thunderbolt, in my opinion, is the best of the three. They have had other movies that talk about it later on, in subsequent years. The movie The Last King of Scotland even refers to the incident
Right.
because
I have seen that one.
that's how the doctor gets out of Uganda, along with
Okay.
the hostages. My number two is Air Force One, and my number one is United 93.
Hooray.
Okay,
So I
so
had four in there.
And again, I wouldn't have expected you to have been able to guess it because it was never brought up in conversation. So,
Yeah.
fine. Okay, what about your top five points
For the
wise?
group. So yes, I had the exact same films in a different order. So at number five, I've got Pelham 123, at number four, Air Force One, number three, United 93, number two, Speed, and what should be number one, Connor.
Okay, first of all, you did get all five. You are correct with
Hey.
the number there. United
Oh, take it.
93 has 28 points, so that's number five.
Okay.
Speed has 39 points, that's at number four.
Surprising. Okay.
Air Force One has 45 points at number three. Pelham 123 barely etches it out with 46 points at number four. And at number two, sorry, and number one is Con Air.
It's Con Air, fantastic.
How many points do you think Con Air got?
60.
47.
Oh wow, very close. Okay.
Which means that the difference between one, two, and three is just 1 point each,
Sure.
which is pretty
That's
interesting.
close. Yeah.
That's right.
So without your list, it would have all changed potentially.
That's correct. That's correct.
Yeah.
If I would have put Con Air at my number five and Pelham at my number four, that would have just changed, the way that we look at that.
Yeah,
There you go.
but that would have been wrong. So,
Well, I realize it would be wrong.
yeah,
That's why I
that
didn't put it that way. All right, and now we have the final segment of Fun City Friday, or
yes,
New Week New York.
I struggled with this top five just because there's too many. There's too many New York films, and I don't know, Rob. This is too many.
How many films
struggling.
Do you think you mentioned through the course of this season?
190, somewhere in that region.
68.
Okay. Now, I feel like if you gave me that list of 68, I'd be able to like narrow it down to a top five, but that would take too long, so we're not going to do that.
No.
The problem is, when you say film set in New York, that's like The Godfather, The Godfather Part Two, Taxi Driver, King Kong, Goodfellas, Ghostbusters. It's like the totemic all-time pillars of cinema are amongst our list, but that's not what people picked. Because they're like set in New York, but are they New York movies? Exactly. What does that even mean? Like, so this is an impossible task, but sure. Your list, I'm gonna say, I don't even know what you would consider to be a New York movie. What would you consider to be a New York movie? How have you defined what is on your list? Don't tell me what's on your list, but what kind of internal logic have you applied to what would be a New York film?
Something that makes you feel as if you're in New York.
Okay. Okay. So, feel as if you're in New York. I'm gonna say. I've got your top three written down, so I'll say those first. I've got number one. I've got When Harry Met Sally, just because you've covered it on this show. Number two, I've got Pelham 1-2-3, because you've covered it on this show. And number three, I've got Die Hard with a Vengeance, because you covered it on this show. And so that kind of felt like those were a solid three to start with.
Okay, two out of three of those are on my top five.
Great. So Die Hard 3 is not on your top five.
No.
even though that feels like you're in New York. It's very sweaty.
I understand, but it just
barely... Yeah, sure. Fair enough.
Daylight is not on my my list here, even though I like it.
I assume that's number one in the group list, but for the two of us that mentioned it.
That's right.
Thrilled when that came up again. So I'm gonna say I don't know, Ghostbusters maybe. That feels like a New York film. Well, Ghostbusters 2 is more of a New York film. Ghostbusters, Taxi Driver, and something else. I'm just scrolling through a list of New York films, hoping for inspiration, and it's not coming.
It's a New York film that I've discussed with you in the past of being a possibility for a future season.
Huh. We've had a lot of these conversations.
We have.
Which one? I could have had the first 5 minutes of Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, but I didn't have that.
No.
And it's like the first 8 minutes. I don't know, Rob. I'm going to give up. I can't think of it. What have we talked about?
Okay, so first of
Spider-Man?
All, no. So first of all, my number five is West Side Story.
West Side Story. Okay, yes, I thought about that earlier and then didn't write it down.
That's not the one I'm referring to. West Side Story.
West Side Story minutes would be interesting.
Yes, it would be very interesting. Number four is Ghostbusters. Number three is Pelham 1-2-3. Number two is When Harry Met Sally.
Oh, that's your number one. Okay.
And my number one is The Apartment.
The Apartment. Yes, sure. A film I've only seen once.
Okay.
So I'm less familiar.
Okay. And it's possible that over the next few seasons, you
watch it again.
Get another chance to watch it.
Yeah. I've just rested on what should be what you should do minute by minute. You should do Uncut Gems minute.
No, I will not. I can already tell you that will not. That's not an option. There are many movies that people mentioned throughout the course of this season that are not options.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. That's fair enough.
And number one on my list of a not an option is Black Swan.
Yeah. I feel like there'd be a lot to talk about, but I share your opinion on that film. I'm not a huge fan of Black Swan. People always say that, but all of the work, like you look into how much Aronofsky put into the making of, like, there's all these little subtle things here and there throughout the film. It'll, like, he spent so much time putting these little details in,
He forgot to put
but
it.
no one noticed them until they're like frame by frame going through it. And so, like, what's the point then? Why did you spend time doing that? Just
Exactly.
make it better. And yeah, fine.
Okay, so
Aronofsky, not a fan.
what do you think of the group top five?
I have no idea. Again,
Okay.
is I feel like the field of 68 films all have exactly the same voting for them. So I've guessed Sleepless in Seattle, Miracle on 34th Street, Ghostbusters. I think Men in Black should be on there when Harry Met Sally, but I don't. Actually, no. Throw out Men in Black and put in Pelham 1, 2, 3. But yeah, I don't
Okay, only two of those
I'm
are
not
on
happy
the
with
top
this
five.
at all. I'm shocked I got two.
Okay.
So.
So number five is Die Hard with a Vengeance
Oh, damn
with
it.
15 points.
Sure, good. I'm glad it's on there. I added to those points.
Okay, Taxi Driver is number four
Yeah, mentioned earlier. Fine.
with 19 points. All right.
Okay.
The Apartment is number three with 20 points.
Sure, five of them from you.
That's right. And Harry Met Sally is number two with 21 points.
Wow, close. Okay.
And Ghostbusters is number one with 24
Number one.
points. Again,
Sure.
the amount of the numbers are very close. I mean, just quickly reading down the list, you have 24, 21, 20, 19, 15, 14, 13, 12, 10, 10, 9, 8, 8, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 5, 5, 5, and then it just goes down from there.
Yeah, I talked to someone who watched When Harry Met Sally for the first time a few weeks ago, and she absolutely loved it and has watched it every week since. And
Wow.
it's a shame that she missed your season. She would have been a good
Did you
guest, but
tell her to
I have
watch?
pointed her to
Did she tell her to listen?
I've pointed her towards the podcast, so I'm sure she'll listen. Yeah,
That would be great.
we had a little diversion on our recent episode on my podcast covering Shark Attack 3. Where we talked about When Harry Met Sally for 5 minutes.
Okay. Fun, fun, fun.
Yeah.
I need to get back into to listening. So I wouldn't have known that, I would have seen it.
There we go. Yeah.
All right. So we actually have both trivia questions and name that remix that were never done. Do you feel like going through them, or it's not worth it?
Yeah, I'm here to pick up the dregs. Let's go through it.
All right. If that's good for you, then that's good for me.
Fine with me. Yeah.
Right. I'm just gonna go in order here. I'm not even gonna randomly do these trivia questions.
Sure. Good.
Okay, Apocalypse Now is loosely based on what Joseph Conrad novel?
Thought I've read it as well. Heart of Darkness.
Very good.
Yes. I
Okay.
didn't enjoy that book.
Okay. I can understand why. In the movie Carrie, what animal's blood do Carrie's tormentors drink?
Pig.
Thank you.
It's my mum's least favorite film.
Okay. In the 1975 film Jaws, what specific item of equipment does Police Chief Martin Brody famously tell Quint they're going to need more of in order to deal with this massive
Oh
great
my
quake?
God. They're gonna need more of more boat. They're gonna need more more of a boat.
They're going to need a bigger boat.
Yeah.
Nope. All right, that was misworded. How's that? In what movie was Dustin Hoffman added to the Guinness Book of World Records as the greatest age span portrayed by a movie actor?
Oh, Little Big Man.
That's right, where he played a
Yeah.
character from age 10 to 121.
Sure. wonder if they would allow like vampires in that these days. If you're like an immortal being character who plays a vampire across centuries. It's like in well, not vampires, but in 3,000 Years of Longing, Idris Elba plays a genie that's been around for millennia, I think. And you see him across that time.
The Rocky Horror Picture Show. What is the name of the dance performed at the beginning?
The time warp.
That's right. Okay. In the 1972 movie The Godfather, what kind of animal's head is found in a Hollywood producer's bed?
Horse. It's a horse's head. You can buy a horse's head pillow, a Godfather themed horse's head pillow, complete with a red stump, if you so wish.
Interesting. Okay. What two famous Mel Brooks comedies were both released in 1974?
I don't know. this is going to be a guess. Mel Brooks is not one of my directors. I haven't seen most of his films. The Producers was that? No, the 60s.
No, that was 68.
Yeah. So Blazing Saddles was the
Yeah.
70s.
Blazing Saddles was
And
74. And
Young Frankenstein?
very good. Excellent.
Young Frankenstein? Okay.
And that's right.
That was a guess.
Right.
No, it wasn't Spaceballs because that it wasn't after Star Wars yet, so
That's
it couldn't be
correct.
that one.
Spaceballs is 87, I believe. Yeah, 87. Okay. What real life event inspired the film The Towering Inferno?
Die Hard.
Well, again, that we've talked about
No.
that
Yeah,
Die
sure.
Hard, the novel of Die Hard is based
I
on.
am not. Yeah, it's going to be a building caught on fire, but I'm not going to be able to tell you which one, I'm afraid. So I don't know.
Okay, well, they had just finished building the World Trade Center, and there was a lot of complaints
Okay.
at the time about potential dangers of a fire in that type of building.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Okay. So you did quite well. Excellent. Nicely done, Jay.
I think I did better on that than when I was actually on for my week, which is a shame,
It's
but there we
very
are.
possible. Well, you also have to think about the fact that you had a much larger, group of questions at the time.
Yes, true. And we were like 3 hours into a recording session when when that came, as opposed to 45 minutes. So my brain was, I don't know where it was.
That's true. That's true. Yeah, I'm looking back. You had questions on Heaven Can Wait, Slapshot, French Connection, Deer Hunter, and Patton. And two of
Yeah, I
the
haven't seen some of those.
right, and two of them were, how many Oscars did they win? So.
Yeah, which I hate that question, Rob. That's a silly question. Let's just pick a number. No one knows
Well,
that kind of thing.
that's fine. Well, the season's over, so I'm not going to be asking that question again
Sure.
for movies from the 70s, so you don't have to worry about that.
Oh, but if the apartment's coming up, I've got to bone up on my 60s trivia. Great.
It's not coming up so soon. You have time. Let's put it this way. Before we even mention what's going to be coming next season, you have at least 6 months
It's true, yeah. I
at
should probably watch
least.
some more Jack Lemmon films as well.
Quite possibly. But again, I don't guarantee that that's going to be 12. I don't
Sure,
know.
yeah. What's his character name? Baxter, is it,
Yes.
in the
Yes,
apartment?
Baxter.
Yeah. There's no good alliteration for Baxter or Jack or Lemon for a day of the week. So you just have to not do it. There's nothing else for it.
Maybe. And then you don't have to watch Jack London movies. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, sure, that works. I mean, I have seen more Jack Lemmon films than Walter Matthau, because I've seen Dog Day Afternoon, not Dog Day Afternoon. The other one,
Save the Tiger?
Glengarry Glen Ross,
Ah, Glen
no
Gary.
Glengarry Glen Ross,
Oh, okay.
the other Al Pacino
Ah, okay. That's right.
There's a connection there somewhere.
Yes. All right. Do you want to do the Name That Remix, or
Yeah, sure. I can do that. I've got time. Yeah. How many do you have left?
there are eight left.
Yeah, let's do them.
Sorry, seven, because
Well, as many.
I'm gonna take. Okay. I've taken Apollo 1, 2, 3 off the list. That's just not.
Oh, damn it!
There's no way of describing that without.
That was a layup. Okay.
it was a layup, but there's no way of describing it without saying the word train. Okay. So the first one came out in 1987, and the remake was in 2016. And the synopsis is, a teenager with nothing to do one Friday night is roped into watching the kids of a neighbor.
Which is in Babysitting?
Yes. Very good.
Yeah. Okay. Didn't realize there was a remake for that. Okay.
Yeah. The remake is terrible. Yeah. And the
great.
The original is epic. So there you go. It doesn't.
The original's fine.
It doesn't stand up as well as it did back in the 80s, but still. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. The next one, the original came out in 1956 with the remake in 2004.
Okay.
A man and his traveling companion try to circumnavigate the globe in record time.
Around the world in 80 days?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. The next one came out in 1957 and was remade in 2007. A farmer is recruited to help guard a criminal being taken to jail.
3:10 to Yuma.
Yes. Very good.
I need to watch the original. I've had that on DVD for ages, but I enjoyed the remake.
Yeah, the remake is good, and the original is with Glenn Ford. I love
yes.
Glenn Ford movies from the 50s. He's just so great with the way that he plays all those different characters. Okay.
I don't think I've seen a Glenn Ford film.
Okay. 1947 and 1996. So no, it is not. It's a Wonderful Life. If that's where you were, sure. If that's where you were going.
I mean, you. Yeah, he probably wouldn't use It's a Wonderful Knife because he hated that horror spin-off.
I have done it. I have used it.
Okay, well.
Apparently you weren't paying attention.
Yeah, fair.
That was back on episode 73. But I know why you didn't watch it.
Okay.
Why you didn't listen to episode 73. So that's fine.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Okay. An angel shows up to try and help a man and his wife raise money for a new church.
What were the years?
47 and 96.
My brain's going like the Blues Brothers, but that's not it. I don't think I know this one.
Okay. The answer is the Bishop's Wife or the Preacher's Wife.
The Christmas films. I have not seen either, but I've only come across them as being submitted for a poll for the best Christmas film at some point. Back
the Preacher's Wife is very good. The Preacher's Wife is not as good.
Well, The Preacher's Wife was the one that was submitted as being great.
Yeah, no.
But I've seen neither. In terms of Glenn Ford, I've seen Gilda.
Okay.
Okay, sure. Yeah, I've seen Gilda, but I think that's it in terms of Glenn Ford.
Right. And you've seen
maybe rectify this. I have technically seen Superman, but I don't remember it that much.
Okay.
It didn't stick with me.
Okay. Okay. In a futuristic world, a corporation tries to get rid of their star player in a brutal spectator
sport. Rollerball?
Yes. Rollerball.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, I didn't even tell you the years. That was 75 and 2000.
No, sure. Wouldn't have helped. I haven't seen either one. That was a guess. I was based on futuristic sport.
Okay. Okay. Two friends decide to try to win a basketball tournament. And the original came out in 1992.
Okay.
And okay. The remake was in 2023.
Oh, White Men Can't Jump.
Exactly. And the final one takes the original came out in 1990 and the remake came out in 2012. A man wakes up and in a futuristic world and doesn't know whether he's dreaming at all or whether it's real.
1990 and 2012.
Yes. I mean, I'm aware of the fact that it's a movie you're not very fond of.
I'm cycling through all the films I'm not very fond of.
It's a movie that I mentioned to you a few years ago that I was contemplating adding to my list. And you said, don't do that one. I'll be on it, but I won't listen. And it's not Stand By Me.
I was going to say, that sounds like Stand By Me. Oh, Total Recall.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, great. I don't dislike Total Recall. I just don't love it as much as other people.
Right.
It's got a lot of charm, and there are.
Amazing special effects.
Yes, that's what I always go back to is the effects. I think I would probably listen if you covered Total Recall, the original,
right.
Not the remake.
Right.
I think I did okay on that. Is there any one that I missed? Again, I did better than my initial run.
Yeah. You let's see what was on your initial run all the way back then. You had Walking Tall, which you missed. True Grit.
Yep.
I think you got True Grit.
I think I got True Grit.
Going in Style, I think you eventually got The Man.
Yes, I've seen the remake.
What you were able to get, and mm-hmm. You missed The Mechanic. That you definitely
missed. Sure. Right. I haven't seen that.
Okay.
I went out for my work Christmas party recently, and someone had some trivia of like, what was John Wayne's real name? And no one at the table knew apart from me, Marion Morrison. But half the table were like, who's John Wayne?
Oh, wow.
And I tried to explain, like, he's a Western actor. And what's he in? Like, nothing recently. He died in the 70s. So I like showed a picture around. They're like, no idea who that is. And I was like, do you remember True Grit with Jeff Bridges in it? Or no, they knew it as Jeff True Grit with Matt Damon and the girl from Pitch Perfect in it. And like, well, he played the character originally in 69-ish. And we don't care. Stop talking to us about this. Let's move on. Let's eat our dinner. And so yeah. That's where John Wayne has come across my life recently.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. Now, I know you're going to ask me this, so I prepared myself about what,
okay.
You know, how do I rank my 11 movies that I've done so far?
Yes. How does this disrupt your top five?
It doesn't disrupt it at all, because it comes
in number seven. Okay, so what is your ranking these days?
So my ranking as of today, again, tomorrow it could change, is, should I go from bottom or top?
Whichever you want.
Okay, really, 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 really far down at the bottom is Die Hard 5. And then if you climb up about 50 rungs, maybe a little more than that, you'll get to Die Hard 4. And then when you climb up a lot more rungs, you'll get to Die Hard 3, followed by Die Hard 2, followed by The Taking of Pelham 1-2-3, followed by When Harry Met Sally. And then my top five, number five is Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Number four is It's a Wonderful Life. Number three is Die Hard. Number two is The Great Escape. And number one is Saving Private Ryan.
Saving Private Ryan, sure. And speaking of Saving Private Ryan, what should your listeners be expecting on next week?
Well, not next week, it's this week. Well, it's 2 days from now.
It depends on how you classify this week, next week. Right. But sure.
48 hours from now. How's that? Is that the best?
Okay, great. just under 47 hours from now.
Yes, exactly. Yes. Season 11, I've decided to do something a little unconventional.
Insane.
Possibly insane, but so far it's been a hell of a lot of fun. I've decided that I'm going to be doing the miniseries Band of Brothers, 5 minutes at a time. And I'm going to be having 19 interviews with people that are related to the production of the movie, the book, the time period, or the men themselves. So I've got all that set up. It's going to be 136 episodes since I'm doing it 5 minutes at a time, because if I were to do it one minute at a time, it would take me, I think, almost 3 years. So it's probably not worth spending that much time on it.
Sure.
You know, when it can be done in 5 minute spurts. So yeah, that's what everyone has to look forward to on Monday. You will you know, when you get the first episode in your feed, you unfortunately won't have Jay on it because
no,
you know, Jay will not be on
the
first episode. Well, because you're not the child of one of the men in Easy Company, and that's why you.
So this is true. I'm not. Yeah.
Yes, maybe you are. I never asked. You know,
I don't think I am.
I could have asked you would have over mentioned the last that. 10 years that I've known you. You know, I never asked.
Oh. You know, no, I think my grandparents avoided the war just by where, the time of they were born. I think. Yeah.
That's fair. So yeah.
They'd have mentioned it, I think.
So I will have an interview on Monday as the inaugural episode, talking to one of the sons of one of the men of Easy Company.
Incredible. But I will be on for the first chapter of every the first
episode of each
yeah,
of the 10 parts.
Yes, there we go. So I'll be spreading out my appearances upgraded on your show.
Yes.
Yeah.
You get upgraded from just 2 episodes a season. You're going to have 11 episodes next season. So, you know,
there we go. Yeah, I see you out there, Andy Goulding, coming back for a second week this season, trying to take my title of the most episodes. I see you.
Exactly.
I brought you into this podcast. I recommended you.
That's right. That's right. Well, that's okay. Andy won't be back next season because Andy sure, yeah, feels he doesn't have anything to say about war movies, even though I think anyone has something to say. But that's fine. You know, I will gladly have him back for season 12, whatever that may be.
Yeah, I'm sure he would love it to be an animated film if you ever went down that route, because that's his bag. He and I both adore animated films. So.
Or Palom 1-2-3.
Sure. Yeah.
Exactly.
There we go.
Okay, so we have one piece of final business to deal with, and that is
episode length.
Episode length, exactly. So where do you think this season fits in?
The episodes have been pretty. There haven't been any like incredibly long ones until towards the end of the season, which has kind of thrown it off a little bit, I think. But I don't think this is going to be near the top of the ranking, but then I also can't remember what any previous season has been. So I reckon this is going to be around 33 minutes an episode, somewhere in that region, on average.
In that region, yes, but all, let's put it this way. Every one of the seasons has been within the 30 to 40 minute range.
Okay.
And because, again, I'm excluding the Die Hard Duo season because
sure,
5 minutes per episode. So those were 53 minutes for each, the average for each episode. Okay, so we shall start from the top. Die Hard 2 is still the reigning champion with 37.8 minutes per episode.
Yeah, Rennie Harlan brings a lot to talk about.
That's right. Followed by It's a Wonderful Life with 37.1.
Okay.
All right. Following that, we have Die Hard 1 with 36.2. minutes per episode, average per episode, followed by When Harry Met Sally, 35.8. Okay, after When Harry Met Sally, we then come to Die Hard with a Vengeance with 35.02 minutes per episode, and then we finally get to this one with 34.69 minutes per episode.
Okay, so it's 33, not far away.
Yeah,
I guess.
And then surprisingly, Saving Private Ryan comes in next with 34.57. You know, slightly below. And then after that, we get Planes, Trains, Automobiles with 33.8. And then the season that will always be at the bottom of this list is The Great Escape with 42.9.
Sure.
Because, you know, we didn't do any segments and, you know,
yep.
It was the inaugural season, so I hadn't hit my stride yet from that perspective.
Finding your feet. Yes, sure.
Right. Yes. And as I said, the Die Hard duo was 53.28.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Will Band of Brothers compete with that one?
That's right. I've actually already created a new list to be able to compare those two with one another, also to get an idea of the average thing. But again, Band of Brothers has 136 episodes. Die Hard Duo had 47. So obviously, time wise, that one's going to completely obliterate it.
That's sure.
You know, yeah. Let's put it this way. With the number of now we'll move to the number of hours spent talking about each of these movies. What do you think is the highest? And that one, everything is included because, you know, it doesn't matter that you're talking about 1 minute or 5 minutes from that perspective. So where do you think this one fits in?
This is a shorter film. So this is going to be near the bottom, I think. This is like you got Planes, Trains, and When Harry Met Sally aren't long films either. So we'll probably be down with those two in the bottom four. I think I would guess.
And you would be correct. It's number three from the bottom. Obviously, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, we talked for 52.41 hours. When Harry Met Sally, 57.33. And this one we've talked about for 60.7.
Okay.
Makes sense. Everything else is in the, The Great Escape, 66.9. And then after that, we get Die Hard with a Vengeance, 75.3, Die Hard 2, 78.23, Die Hard, 79.65. And then we have It's a Wonderful Life with 81.06, and Saving Private Ryan with 96.8, that number is also going to be passed with Band of Brothers. There's no question about that.
Sure. Especially eventually you'll cover The Sopranos 5 minutes at a time, and that'll take over everything. Bonanza, 5 minutes at a time.
No. You mean Gunsmoke.
I know there's like 400 episodes of Bonanza, I think. I'm not sure how many episodes
there are. Gunsmoke went on for like 20 years, didn't it, or something like that?
I don't know. I just listened to the Bananas for Bonanza podcast,
right?
Which goes through episode by episode, despite never having seen the show.
Okay. And Die Hard Duo, we talked about for 40.85 minutes.
Right. I feel like you should divide that by two or separate that into four and five. That's Die Hard 2.
No, but exactly. I can't split that into. You're saying split into each for 20 minutes each? 20 hours each? Probably not. We probably talked more.
Four is longer, so you probably talked more on that one. Yeah.
Right. Whatever. I group it in there, and it'll forever be compared now to Band of Brothers.
Sure.
Which so far Band of Brothers is climbing the charts with that one, for sure. With the 25 episodes that have already been in the bank. From that perspective,
635 episodes of Gunsmoke.
That's sort of more than 400.
Yeah, so that would That would be 12,700 episodes if you did that
Yeah,
5 minutes at a time.
12,000. Wow, that 12,000. I've only done 1,200 so far. So
Yeah, there we go. So better get going.
exactly. Today's episode is 1,201. There you go.
James Arness was in every single episode, apparently. Wow. Okay.
Okay.
Good for him.
Exactly. All right, Jay, is there anything else you wanted to bring up that we haven't discussed?
I don't think so. I think I appreciate you towards the end of the run, making the effort to say the actor's name when you started saying the character's name. Listeners, that was for my benefit because I made that because he keeps saying Mr. Gray. Which one's Mr. Gray? I don't know who that is. So yes, thank
Well, you can appreciate
you.
it, but it doesn't last very long.
Okay, great.
I did it for a few
No
episodes,
worries.
and then it got annoying.
I appreciate the
I tried. And just wait till
Okay.
Band of Brothers.
I was gonna say that's gonna be fun. Sure.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, you tried, so thank you for trying.
Yes, I try to cater to my guests when requested properly. When going through the proper channels, how's that?
Sure.
Yeah. And obviously, I can't end any season without thanking all of my guests. I just want to thank Stephen J. Rubin, Derek McDuff, Joe Amedee, Richard Kirkham, Bubble Wheat, Eddie O'Hare, Andy Goulding, Todd Liebenow, Dave Anderson, David Brooke, Travis Bowe, both Joe and Cassie Turrell, Heather Baxendale, Alan Sanders, Jim O'Kane, Andy Golding again for his second week that he endured with us, Alex Marcus, Niall McGowan, John Parker, both Niall and John for doing a joint episode with me, Robert Smith, Agent Palmer, and finally, my first and last guest, Jay Cluett.
Thank you.
So thank you all. All right. So would you like to tell everyone where they can find Jay Cluett?
Yes, we'll do. Thank you. So Deep Blue Sea, the podcast, is my podcast where my friend Mark Hoffmeyer and I go through Deep Blue Sea and films like it, sometimes scene by scene, sometimes do the whole film one go. Rob's been on a couple of times to talk about a Rennie Harlan film and a submarine. No, wait, what was You were on, what was the second? Were you on for
I
Crimson
was on
Tide?
for
Crimson
Crimson
Tide.
Tide, and I
Yeah.
was also on for Born American.
And Born
Born American, sorry.
American. Yeah. Rennie Harlan's first film. And we'll have to get you back on again soon for something else.
Sounds like a plan.
And yeah, and then lifeversusfilm.com is my personal site where you can see things that I write sometimes. And this is coming out towards the end of the year, so there should be end of year lists
In
coming
like
at the
a month.
start of next year.
Like a month from now.
Well, but I mean, yeah, it was hey, the end of January last year was good for me.
Okay.
Because previously it's like April or June. So,
Oh, well, I mean,
I aim for
you
January.
have 4 days to finish to finish the year. So, who knows? Maybe you'll get it
Okay.
done
Okay.
by
I should probably
Thursday.
get started
There
then. I've got about 100 films to do this
go.
year.
Okay.
It's been a good year.
That's good. That's good. 100 films in the year for you is an amazing feat.
Like new releases,
I
new
understand. I understand. I
releases.
understand.
Yeah. Water Matter, not in any new
No,
releases.
no.
So whose fault is
He
that?
and John Wayne, they no longer are appearing in
Yeah.
the movies. But with AI, you never know. Maybe they will.
No, they won't. That wouldn't be them. That would be bad. Stop it. No.
I'm not. Trust me, I am not advocating it. I'm just saying that there are people who do. That's the problem. All right.
Yes, that is the
And
problem.
finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Around Midnight. You can find me on Facebook. Find me on Twitter, find me on Instagram, you can find me on my website, movieaboutminute.com. And if you want to send me an email, you can send it to movieaboutminute@movierob.net. So Jay, thank you once again for finishing up a yet another season with me. And I look forward to being back with everybody on Monday when I start season 11. And I look forward to having Jay back on Tuesday for the second episode where we actually get to talk about things that happen in Band of Brothers, not just the not just the overall story of everything. So
Yes, I look forward to it too. And I hope this season you seem to have had a pretty bad cold. So I think that clears up by the next season.
I should hope so too. But again, I will be back on Monday. Achoo!
Gesundheit.